There's a well-known hymn that I often return to. It goes, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." I think what I find comforting in this hymn, it's realizing that it's when I wander rather than if. What is it in us that pulls us from the one we love and desire to be with? And why is it so universal? Knowing that I'm not alone in wandering helps lessen the shame that comes when I do fall away, and it helps me to return quicker. In this Lent season, you've been hearing from different voices about our return to our first love. Our hope is that by hearing different perspectives and stories, it'll provide language and space for you to return when you find yourself wandering. This week, you get to hear from Kathleen. She's our project and ministry coordinator, which means she's the one who really helps us get everything done. You'll often find her in the back with the media team, ensuring the slides are inputted and service goes smoothly, or mentoring and teaching the youth kids. So with that said, let's hear from Kathleen.
Returning. What does it mean to return to a time where love was new, good, intentional, captivating, joyful? As you listen to this devotional, my hope is that you would see returning as an invitation. Would your return stretch beyond going back to a moment as if to relive the past? But would your return be a walk forward, taking all that you have been through and all that has shaped you, for better or for worse? So what does it mean to return? Not to a time, but to a person. What does it mean to return to the God who is constant? I invite you in the next moment to note what this question is stirring in you. Are you intimidated? Maybe overwhelmed with the thought of returning? Is there a wave of shame or doubt rising? Are you sorrowful, feeling like you've lost or wasted too much time? Do you find yourself inspired, ready to make new vows to God? Or maybe you're at a loss for words. Returning feels awkward. Life has been gray and nothing really seems worth the effort. Change is slow and the cycles continue. Maybe you're recollecting the moments you chose to distance yourself from God. Do you hear yourself saying, "How did I get here?" Or maybe, "I'm okay staying here a little longer." Take a moment to reflect on returning to God and what this stirs in you. Since our return is to a person and not a moment, our return may not hold the once blossoming zeal, the same outward intensity, the same inner sentiment as the first time you fell in love with him. We may not sense the butterflies in our stomach or the queasiness of falling in love, but we can return to him. You can return. Wherever you find yourself today, whatever you are holding, his mercy anticipates you. God is not surprised by how often or how easily we wander. His mercy anticipates you. Your return is a walk forward towards the one who anticipates you. So in light of this truth, how do you return? For me, coming out of a barren, dry, and distant season, feels a lot like crawling out of quicksand. The thought of pulling myself out tires me before I even begin. Every little thing I've done or left undone is like a grain of sand piled up and keeping me down. I am discouraged, shameful, and in denial of how far I have wandered. I think I can go just one more day like this, one more day on my own. I say to myself, I'll end up back here anyways. What's the point of returning? I am prone to wander. My mind also drifts to who I should be before I draw near to God again. All the spiritual disciplines to do, all the chapters of the Bible to read, all the minutes of prayer to accumulate, all the happiness and gratitude I should feel again. Do you find yourself here? Have you been wanting to return? Have you been caught up in the waves of I should be, I want to be, I have to be before God? Let's linger in this space a little longer. What is one should be that is keeping you from returning to God today? For those of you who may find God close in this season, you may wish to reflect on how much of your intimacy is based on who you are. Have you been relying on your ability, your feelings, your stable circumstances? What is one area you can recognize God and credit His mercy? Our return, our love, is not what should be's, want to be's, or have to be's, but it is simply to be. Because our return is based on who God is. Lamentations chapter 3 reads, "Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love." Lamentations is written soon after the Babylonians besiege and destroy the temple in Jerusalem. Israel is in exile, Jerusalem is left to smoke and fire, and Jeremiah, wailing from the heartache, grieves the loss. Lamentations is a book of mourning the distance from God. But while in ruin, there is still hope for reunion, because God is good on His word, and He is true to Himself. Scripture reminds us what it means to wait quietly. To sit in silence as a way of hope, as a way of remembering God. So for me, returning to God looks like embracing the darkness and welcoming the silence. To do this, I may take a walk at night, or I may sit in my room with the lights off and light a candle. The dark helps me to see clearly, because in the dark, My eyes can no longer wander. I have nothing to distract me. I have no excuse. In the dark, I'm also reminded I cannot hide. Even in the dark, when I feel unseen, I am not hidden from my Father. So in the dark, I see no one else, and I can bring nothing else before God but myself. I also welcome silence. For a few minutes, I may sit. I may stand with my arms raised. I may bow on my knees. I return myself to God, leading with my body. In the silence, I utter no pleas, no shouts of praise, no promises, no ways to convince God to draw near. I withhold from telling God where I want to be or where I should be. I acknowledge myself as I am, a wanderer, a sinner. I also find silence amplifies who God is. God draws near to me, not because I ask him to, but because it's who he is. He is a compassionate and gracious God, a committed father to his children. So with no other words, I return by presenting my body, my attention, my heart, my whole self before God. At times, I may place a timer for 1 or 2 minutes. Other times, I freely give my time to God. As you present yourself to God and wait for him in silence, you may find his voice becoming familiar and his face becoming clearer. After the silence, the Spirit may guide you to sing praise, to rejoice, to pray for others, to confess, to repent. As you present yourself before God as you are, you will find that God is faithful to not leave you as you are. So God anticipates you. Can you unravel yourself to this truth? He sees all that you have been through, all that has shaped you in the past year, month, week, or day. He's seen it all and has not looked away. He does not cast you off, but he is ready for you. His mercy is ready for you. He anticipates you. I invite you in this moment, if you're able, to be before God. You may sit, stand, kneel, bow, or lay. However you wish to posture yourself to communicate to God, you are coming just as you are. In this time, let your thoughts come and then let them go. For the next minute, try not to utter any sorries, promises, or prayers, but simply feel his eyes upon you. Feel his attention, his nearness. When you are ready, you may say, God, here I am, and enter the silence. God, here I am. We mostly spend our lives conjugating 3 verbs, to want, to have, to do. None of these verbs have any ultimate significance except so far as they are transcended by and included in the fundamental verb, to be. Writer and poet Evelyn Underhill. I will now close our time in prayer. May these words be the meditation of your heart. Abba, Father, you see me wandering, and you see me returning. I am not hidden from your sight. You desire to dwell in me, a broken and empty vessel. Thank you for being a committed Father. Help me to bring myself before you daily. Whether my river is dry or overflowing, help me to rely on your new mercies. Clear my eyes to see you for who you are. God, lead me with your kindness. Lead me to your heart. Amen.